Welcome to Book Backstory. My name is Carla Brandenburg, and I'm an award-winning author of romantic suspense and paranormal novels. This podcast is a walk along my journey. I plan to interview some of my favorite authors, share with you some of the things that get me excited to write a book, and the stumbling blocks during the process. Today, I want to talk to you about using the five senses when you write. While I often write about a sixth sense, today I'm reflecting on the five senses we all share. I recently read a couple of blog posts about the sense of smell and about the use of our senses when writing. Too often, authors forget to include simple cues that can bring the reader more deeply into the story. Let me start by pointing out an author should make these experiences direct and not distance the reader by saying, "I could smell," or "I saw." From the character's point of view, they are actively experiencing these things. So rather than, "I could smell raw onions in the kitchen," the more direct approach might be, "Judging by the onions and garlic that assaulted me when I walked in, I guessed she was making something Italian for dinner." Or instead of, "I saw a cat on the porch," something more like, "As I approached the front porch, a black and gray striped tabby arched its back in an exaggerated stretch and stalked off into the bushes." Yes, you can see the cat, but it's more active if you can see what it's doing and convey that. Okay, enough about how to use those senses. Let's move on to why. I'm going to start with sight. What your characters see is generally a given. Most books will point out everything that comes into line of sight. Using the sense to evoke a feeling means using what they see to your advantage. What do they think of when they see something? For instance, "The woman's skin was as white as paper, and she wore a head wrap. Mary walked up to the stranger and squeezed her hand. 'Keep fighting,' she said, knowing all too well how ill the woman must be." Show, don't tell. Visual cues communicate much more effectively than telling the reader, "Mary saw a woman who looked like she was struggling with cancer." Moving on to sound. While we take for granted our characters see the world, we don't always stop to hear what's happening around them. For instance, where I live, they test the warning sirens the first Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. I'm not sure this would ever come up in a story, but it would be a clear signal to the reader, at least a reader in Illinois, of the date and time. I don't know how widespread this practice is. If the story is set in a city, the sound of a train or a subway rumbling puts the reader firmly into a sense of place. A church bell ringing in the distance, or a carillon, for that matter, a song on the radio, or a choir that transports the character to a different time and place. Music, in particular, often recalls an associated memory. Good to use sparingly for flashbacks. As an example, "When she walked into the department store, 'It's too late to turn back now,' played on the Muzak system, filtering through the crowd noise to remind her of the one job she should have walked away from. She'd learned her lesson. It was never too late to turn back." Now for the sense of taste. I've discovered I tend to get stuck on a certain flavor in each of my books. There was the bread pudding in Enchanted Memories, Majorca bread in Breaking the Mold. The bread pudding reminds the main character of her aunt, who served it as comfort food. When your characters go out to eat, you'll want to include the flavors that resonate with them. Are they favorable? Bitter? Enhance the mood or detract from it? Some foods can be a source of conflict. The hero likes asparagus, but the heroine chokes on it every single time. Or cilantro. Some people appreciate it, while others liken it to eating soap. Jose sprinkled the cilantro liberally into the taco meat, the way his mother used to. Alicia cried out in horror, "If I wanted my mouth washed out with soap, I'd carry a bar with me. Ease up, will you? How do you expect me to eat that now?" Or here are a couple of excerpts from Enchanted Memories. Bread pudding, the cure-all Auntie Arlene had given her after the first time Madeline had shared someone else's thoughts and feelings. Or, "She didn't bother cutting off a slice, digging into the 8x8 pan of bread pudding. Extra points for the vanilla sauce on the top. When it practically melted in her mouth, she closed her eyes and hummed her appreciation. Pure heaven. Nothing restored her chi the way bread pudding did. Then we can talk about the sense of touch or feel. Consider how something feels. Walking down a deserted London street, cold and damp seeping into your bones. Okay, now consider a romance novel and a hero with rock-hard abs, warm skin, or holding someone's hand. Maybe it's clammy. Maybe they have papery skin. What feeling do you want to convey? The way it feels sets a mood or a response to that character. Chills of dread when someone walks into a cold basement. Claustrophobia when they walk into a hot, stuffy attic, the air making it difficult to breathe. Texture. Running fingers across a smooth or a coarse surface. Spilling a cold drink or a cup of coffee. How does the character respond to these sensations? Telling a reader these things happen is superficial. Experiencing it? Her scalded skin turned red where the coffee sloshed onto her hand, and she rushed to the sink to rinse the burn with cold water, which raised goose flesh all over her body. Her hand throbbed with the violent temperature extremes. Last but not least is the sense of smell. Back to the onions and garlic. Making the reader smell what the character does. In Living Canvas, Audrey walks past the lilac bushes and up the front steps of the B&B, smelling the delicate fragrance. Thanks to my friend Deb Larson for that sensory cue. On the opposite end of the spectrum, if you're writing a whodunit and somebody done died, a character might come across a decomposing body, which would make them gag and possibly even lose their cookies. Strong smells prompt strong responses. Delicate smells tease at memories or hint at peaceful settings. Olfactory senses can even transport people to another place and time. In The Uninvited, the scent of mimosa is an indicator that the ghost of Stella's mother is nearby. The twist is that her mother isn't who she thought she was. In this instance, the whole plot hinges on the sense of smell. An author might use a scent when a character thinks of their parents. Old Spice for their father, or Windsong for the mother, etc. I've seen movies where a child buys a fragrance simply to remember his dead mother because he's worried he'll forget her. It's his way of keeping her close. It's important to remember that you don't want to dump all these senses on your reader all at once. Weave them in gradually. Give your readers an experience rather than stopping to look at everything or hear everything or see everything. You want to weave these into your story gradually, one at a time, when it's important. And again, it's important to use the experiences directly and not distance your reader with "he saw." We're in the character's point of view, so we can see what he sees. Telling the reader is sort of like saying, "I said to him, I said," Bugs Bunny cartoons, anyone? Likewise, by adding "could" in front of the sense also distances the reader. They want to experience what the character is experiencing when they're experiencing. No could about it. What is the character seeing, smelling, tasting, experiencing, hearing? Show the reader, don't tell them, and make it a three-dimensional experience rather than a flat collection of words. Join me next week as I talk about how to draw a character sketch.